listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 187. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the guy who had three coffees before 11 o'clock this morning.
Yeah.
You're not blinking again, are you?
Nope.
John Brownstone!
I'm ready for those weeping angels.
Or to cling to the ceiling. If I can't find you
Whichever
later, I'll just
comes
look
first,
up.
Just look up, yeah.
This week, we're talking about stress and how it affects your DS relationship. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, on Instagram at that handle I will forever fucking hate, LovingDS and the number one, or on YouTube at youtube.com/LovingBDSM, where you can watch us live stream the podcast every Wednesday. All links are in the show notes, including all those links to all that social media. If you're like, how do I find them?
Use the show notes. We're everywhere.
As always, a big shout out to our kinky patrons on Patreon, including our newest peeps. And we've had several new people join recently, and we are so glad to have you. We see you. We love you. We thank you for your contribution and for supporting the work we do, because you certainly are making it more possible for us to do the work. If you'd like access to more of us, to more content, to live Q&As, to behind-the-scenes stuff, to all that, become a kinky patron for as little as $1 a month. That gets you access to the content we create above and beyond everything else we're already doing. You can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/Kayla Lords. That's patreon.com/Kayla Lords, or use the link in the show notes. Do not try to search us on Patreon. We are an adult account. You will not find us there. So you got to use a link or just type it in directly. patreon.com/Kayla Lords. So real quick, one announcement, just the one. Today we are recording. It is Wednesday the 28th. Mm-hmm. Podcast listeners, the earliest you could possibly listen to this is Friday, August 30th. Our giveaway ends on Saturday.
Yeah.
The 31st. I know.
That went by quick.
Do you know, technically, if you go by dates, the 27th, which was yesterday on Tuesday of this week, that was our official
That was our official
date
anniversary.
Date-wise, that was our four-year anniversary. This Friday, though, is week-wise our four-year anniversary.
4 years ago yesterday was the day you went into the closet.
I know. And I didn't come out until you got me a good microphone.
Oh goodness.
So yes, the giveaway is, you've got a few days left. If you have not entered yet, it is not too late. There are, I think there's like, technically, if you went through the entire list, you could have 49 entries. And actually more, because there are ways to enter every single day. One, if you are on Twitter, is by, there's a message you can tweet every day. I think it's, is it Princess Aria? I think that's your handle. Who is, and poor thing, everyone's small, she goes, I'm not really spamming you, I'm just trying to win this giveaway. And then if you like are not really on social media, or you're not comfortable sharing, like, or you don't have Twitter or whatever, we have a way that you can share content we've created one-on-one. So you just need to like screenshot like a text you sent or an email. Or if you're in some like secret groups online, you can share there and then like screenshot the fact that you shared it. You can block out your name. I don't care about that part. So there are ways to enter every day, and you get more entries. And so there is time left. If you're watching the live stream, get on it. The link is in the description below. If you are listening to the podcast, link is in the show notes. Link is all over our social media. And just like go enter. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm not even going to talk about the prizes, because I've talked about the prizes. Go freaking enter. Okay.
Yeah. Ben, yeah, you know about stress.
Ben had a root canal.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-mm. And if you have any anxiety about the dentist, then it's even worse.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's what's funny. Before we even talked about what our topic would be today, we were already exhibiting all the things we do when we get stressed. So first of all, we have talked about in many, many, many like ridiculous amount of episodes, getting out of sync, or vanilla life getting in the way, or your vanilla family like interfering with your kink, and all these things that can derail your DS. Like, we have talked about it, and we always mention stress, because stress is a fact of life. Things are going to come up, little things, big things. I always find that I can handle one big thing. Like, it can be stressful and it can be scary and it can be daunting, but I can handle it. It's when I get like 20 small things that all crop up.
Yeah.
And that's when I start feeling overwhelmed. And so there's no avoiding any of that. I cannot give anybody advice on how to avoid stress other than you can be more like me and just become a hermit and try never to leave your house. It has worked wonders for my mental health if I never leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
But we're living life, so there's going to be stress. But I think, and we have done the episodes about how to kind of get your, sorry y'all, I have something in my eyes other than my eyeballs and my fingers. Podcast listeners, you're like, what the fuck? I am like glasses off and I'm trying to get something out of my eyes. Anyway, so we have talked sort of, I would almost say to the point of, I don't even want to talk about it anymore, of how to kind of get your kinky self back. I will link to those in the show notes if you have mm-hmm. missed those, because a lot of them are like way from the archives or like early, early episodes. But I think that it is worth talking about and validating the reality that when the stress gets too high, your DS will absolutely be impacted. The rest of your life is impacted by stress, so why wouldn't your DS?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's multiple things happen, but the two big things that come to mind is either people are not, they somehow think that the power exchange in their relationship is like bulletproof and that it should be so strong that it can withstand anything. Well, it can, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't take the hit. It doesn't mean it doesn't get bruised and battered a little bit while other things are coming at you. At the other end, the other thing that I think a lot of people don't seem to realize is that you are not failing at DS or being a submissive or being a dominant or whatever. If there comes a point where the stress is so great, you are either like, I cannot do this part of our power exchange, whatever mm-hmm. it may be, for a bit, or, oh my God, what I really need is to do some of the DS stuff, that would clear my mind. Both of those are valid, and then there'll be people who are kind of in the middle and it'll fall on a spectrum. But I think people tend to get knocked back when stress does impact their DS life mm-hmm. and they start feeling lost and they start feeling like, what am I missing? What am I doing wrong? What's wrong? A lot of us, especially anxious people, will go to worst case scenario of, oh my God, our relationship is over. This is the worst thing ever to happen. We will not survive this. We will not come back from this. If we take a break from our DS, we'll never do it again. Okay, I'm going to need y'all to take a breath. Okay? I'm going to need y'all to take a breath. If the underlying relationship is relatively strong, relatively healthy,
mm-hmm.
and you keep the lines of communication open, yes, you will bounce back from this.
Yeah.
These things will not last forever. They might last longer than you anticipate. They will always last longer than you want them to. It might feel for a while that it's a hit after hit after hit of stress and things just keep coming. We have very good friends right now who are certainly going through it in different ways. We have several friends who have several things going on. We are currently, knock on wood, in a good cycle of not a lot of stress.
Mm-hmm.
Our time is coming. It happens.
Right.
It happens to everybody.
Well,
never lasts forever.
We went through a lot of stress with selling the condo, moving, getting... we're fairly well settled in now.
I know, I'm just now starting to feel like myself again.
There was the stress of being in a new town, not really knowing many people, trying to find our way around.
Not knowing where the hell we were going. Yeah, I have no internal map
mm-hmm.
of the town. Right
I mean,
now.
You know, neither one of us knew where anything was. We wouldn't leave the house without our phone to GPS something.
We actually bought special mounts just to put our phone up so we could use the GPS and
yeah.
be able to look at it. And I haven't used it in a while because I'm a hermit who only goes like two places, y'all. I just, by myself.
Anyway. I'm the chauffeur driving Miss Kayla.
You won't let me drive. Okay. So, I've still got something in my eye. It's driving me nuts. Okay. So, a couple of things. I think, first of all, that's the starting point, is recognizing stress is going to come at you out of nowhere.
Right.
I have a habit of, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, but I think we've got to be careful with this. Be mindful about this. I have a habit of minimizing my own stress and my own problems with the somebody else has it worse. On one level, I think that's a good thing. I think it keeps you grounded and reminds you that to keep things in perspective. Some things feel really awful and they're really not the worst things in the world. But the problem is that sometimes we minimize our own stress because we're walking around going, I shouldn't. Remember we've said many times now about that word should. Don't should on yourself. I shouldn't feel this way because other people have it worse, or because it could be worse. The mm-hmm. things happening to you in your life right now are what are affecting you in the way that they affect you. Okay, so maybe somebody else would not feel as stressed about the same thing as you do. Okay, maybe somebody else would be freaking out more than you're freaking out. It is not a competition. We do not need to walk around comparing our stress to other people's stress, either in validation or to somehow minimize what we're feeling. Yes, there is certainly benefit to being realistic about what's going on. And sometimes mm-hmm. in the heat of the moment, at the peak stress, you cannot be realistic about what is going on because it's too overwhelming. Sometimes it takes a few days, or you kind of mm-hmm. like got to take a step back and get introspective and think about how you're feeling to really get to that, a better perspective on what your stress level really is. But your stress is your stress, and nobody else on this planet has to understand it or think it is as stressful. It is still valid, and it mm-hmm. still has to be dealt with. And regardless of whether it's something we would be stressed out about or somebody else would be stressed out about, if you're stressed, it's impacting your GS relationship. It doesn't matter what the thing is. Really mm-hmm. big things, like the really big hard things like death and illness and job loss and all of those really hard things, medical issues, health concerns, to the small ones of, like I said earlier, sometimes one big stress doesn't seem to faze me. Like, yes, I'm stressed, but I'm moving through it. But it's 20 small things. It's the bad traffic. It's the person who was late. It's the email where somebody was mean to me in an email. It's all those small things that all add up to that same feeling of stress. Okay. So if you're going through, if you're feeling stressed out, yes, take a beat and make sure, do some inner work to make sure it's your reaction is appropriate to the moment. But don't worry about whether somebody else has it more stressful. Mm-hmm. And as somebody who lived under chronic stress for the entirety of my 20s and then into my 30s, I'm pretty sure that wrecked my health a little bit. That was a lot of stress.
It takes its toll.
It does. I will say personally, what never helped was, you know, it could be worse. Like people who say that, it could be worse. I even find myself sometimes saying it to give somebody that I am close enough to where it is appropriate to do that advice of, okay, put this in perspective of, you know, it could be worse. But at the peak of my stress, like I said, the entire decade from 20 to 29, that did not actually help. That stressed me out more because then my anxious mind went, oh my God, it could be worse. Mm. And then I was thinking about all the ways
it could always be worse.
It's true. So what does this have to do with our DS relationships? Like I said earlier, since everybody reacts to stress a little bit differently and what stresses people out is different from person to person, I think it's only appropriate to kind of talk about us and stress. And it has impacted us in a lot of ways. Back in 2015, when your sister died.
Yes.
When she was ill with cancer, the family drama that surrounded that, and then her death, all of that. Oh my gosh. There were moments where you just said, I can't do this. And what he meant by this I was coming to him as a submissive going, mm-hmm. I need you to be the dominant in these 5 seconds.
And I flat out told her I can't, mm-hmm. I don't have the bandwidth to even think about that right now.
Exactly. Sorry. I got distracted for a second. Woo. I took a sip of coffee. That's all it was. And what I did, because it was fortunate in that situation, that while I was stressed because here's this new family I had sort of just met and they were going through this turmoil, it wasn't happening to me in the same way it was happening to John Brownstone, mm-hmm. right? So what I was able to do was go, okay, let me step up as his partner and as a submissive. For me, it was both sides of myself. And okay, I will do things differently within our relationship to give him the space he needed, but in a way that, for me, made me feel like I was serving. So I started making more decisions. But
you kind of went on into like an autopilot mode.
No, I wouldn't say. Well, I guess I kept our relationship and our life on autopilot.
Yeah.
I made the decisions where normally I would have come to mm-hmm. you and said, what do you want? But every decision I made was based on what I believed you would want it to be.
True.
In that moment, at that time, that worked. Would it work the next time? I can't say. But the things, the decisions that needed to be made were not complicated. They were not life-altering. They were, what are we having for dinner? Or where are we going now? Or what is this thing that needs to be done? And they were things that had been, decisions that had been made multiple times. So I had a history and knowledge of how you probably would have answered and then was making decisions based on that. Sometimes I was not even making decisions that way. I was looking, standing back and going, what does he need to help him? And not just not asking him to be a dominant in these 5 minutes, but like, okay, he's had a long day. Normally he would drink, this is a random example. Normally he would drink water at dinner. That is true. But he was outside and he was doing this and he was doing that. You know what? He really needs Gatorade. He needs this. Or, oh, he would like this coffee. I know he would normally drink this coffee in the evening. I'm going to give him decaf because he needs to sleep. He doesn't need the extra caffeine. I was making decisions like that, that had I asked him, he wouldn't have even been able to answer me. He would have gotten frustrated. We might have even gotten into an argument because it would have been overwhelming to him. So to have me come at him as a submissive, wanting him to make a decision in those moments was not the right thing to do. I needed to back off. It did not mean I was any less submissive. And I found ways in my own mindset to behave in what felt to me a submissive way. Like I was doing things as his submissive, even if it was not the overt, let me ask permission, let me wait to be told. I was having to take charge because I can do that. And God knows I do that all the time anyway, to give him what he needed. And I was still serving, even if he was not directly calling the shots or even aware that I was serving. Sometimes when you're under that amount of stress, you don't notice it. You notice things are kind of getting done, but you're not thinking about what it takes to get it done. I think that's okay in deep stress. Sometimes you're just trying to survive moment to moment. What worked well for us, and you have always been really good at this, is once that the worst of the stress is over, you have always come back. Once you kind of looked around and went, wait, it didn't burn down around here while I was like out of commission. And you've always shown gratitude.
Always show gratitude. And I've always been able to step back, get back in two step, so to speak, and kind of pick up and not just let things languish.
Exactly. Now, we have, knock on wood, not gone through anything as stressful from my end. The most stressful in our relationship since we've been together, one was 2016 when I finally went, oh yes, this mental health thing, I should probably work on that. I was having panic attacks and I was like, I couldn't even look at a phone, let alone pick it up and dial it. Like it was bad. And then what, the year before, maybe, I can't remember what year it was. No, it was about the same year. My mother had, she was tested for the breast cancer gene, and they found out that she had it. And the way the test came out, her chance of getting breast cancer was like way high. Her sister had already been diagnosed with breast cancer, gone through a double mastectomy with reconstruction. My mom was opting for it and saying, I'm just going to go ahead and do this. My insurance will cover it. Thank God for that. I'm going to have it done. I'm going to do it all at the same time. She was really no nonsense about it. Outwardly, I'm pretty sure she was stressed out as fuck, because who wouldn't be, right? And I went to Mississippi to be with her and help take care of her for a week.
Because at that point, the stress where, with my sister, the stress was on me, at that point, everything had shifted. And
And it was not as severe as what you went through at all. We knew my mom was going to be
but
fine.
But it was still a stressful situation for you.
Exactly.
And I found myself having to step up and make sure certain things were taken care of, giving you a little bit of extra attention to help as much as
and
I could.
Relaxing some of the things you would ask me to do.
Right.
I mean, one, when I was out of town, I wasn't there to do them anyway.
I mean, that was a thing too. I was like, you know, you need to go and be there to help her after surgery. You're going. Do not worry about the boys and I. I will make sure everybody's at school when they need to be, at home when they need to be,
right.
And there will be food on the table for us to eat.
And while we did, and we've talked, like I said, we've talked about this in so many past episodes, we did keep up certain things while we, you know, during those times that would allow us to kind of find that mindset.
Yeah.
It was more important for me to be able to focus on the thing I was doing and not be worried about whether I was doing my submission correctly from a distance or whatever for John Brownstone.
Right.
It did not make me not submissive. Not doing the submissive things that make you feel submissive
No.
does not make you something other than a submissive. Okay. A lot of submissives get very concerned about this. They're like, if we take a break from the actions of our DS dynamic, does that somehow turn off the DS dynamic? Not necessarily. I mean, that's about how you view it and how mm-hmm. you feel about your submission. If you closely identify your submission to the things you do, it is going to be more difficult. If you yeah. closely identify your submission, and dominance is totally counts for wherever you're at on the slash, but if it's about who you are, if you have taken on that as an identity, then the actions don't, what you're physically doing in a moment, in one single solitary moment, doesn't matter. Okay? There are times you will feel less submissive. I know mm-hmm. if we go too long without doing some of the tasks and the rituals and the things in our DS dynamic, I will feel less submissive. You can hear it in my voice. Like, the tone of voice I speak to John Brownstone with changes. So we can't go yeah. too long. But saying for a week, well, what are you going to do? Make my coffee for a week while I'm gone? What the hell, right? Like, certain things couldn't be done. I wasn't not a submissive. I was still submissive. I was just a submissive who mm-hmm. was doing other things. And when yeah. I came back, we fell into it. Another one that was, so those were individual. Like, I had my stress, he had his stress.
Right.
I reacted to what he needed imperfectly, y'all. I mean, you're getting the Cliff's Notes version of this 4 years on, right? At the time, I was confused and I was unsure and I was tired. Of course I was while I was helping him. Mm-hmm. And then in reverse, the times I've gone through stressful things and he could only sort of watch from the sidelines, he went through all of that too. And over time, the longer we've been together, the better we get at this. We're still not perfect, y'all. Believe me, we're still not. And then there's those times of mutual stress. So when we first moved in together in 2014, we actually did have to say, no protocols, no tasks, no rituals. What, right. It was like 2 weeks?
It was at least 2 weeks. We kind of had... It was a bumpy start when we first moved in together. There was the stress of actually moving, of course, and for Kayla it was a matter of moving her halfway across the state
and picking up my whole life and my children and changing everything and ugh.
And what had ended up happening was the apartment I rented when we moved in together, the AC took a crap. And this was in June in Central Florida, West Central Florida. And, it kind of had us a bit stressed out, so to speak. So in order to get through that, yeah, we kind of put all our DS and had to put it on hold.
Right. And that was a mutual decision to get right. through the stress of all of that.
Correct.
It was not, and again, he was still dominant. I was still submissive. Mm-hmm. It did not change how we saw ourselves as people and our relationship. It just changed the physical acts mm-hmm. of what we did. What I know that I was saying last mm-hmm. was that it's not about the physical things you do. For us, at least, it's about how we see ourselves as people within our relationship. Like, that's why we can take a break and not worry mm-hmm. about anything. If you have never gone through that, it is totally understandable that you would be nervous about that. And we, I think we've done an episode about getting back into your DS after a break.
Yeah.
Because if the break goes too long, you can sort of feel like you haven't, that you have, like, you almost maybe like you've lost part of who you were, and maybe you've forgotten how things work. And it's like re-exercising and reworking a muscle.
Yeah.
quick gym aside, we've been going to the gym now. We decided to do that. We've been three times. We'll go again today. And I'm working muscles I used to work all the time. And they're not as sore as they could be if I was, like, completely new to it. But they feel it. Like, it's an adjustment. Your relationship is no different. So if you do take a pause, if you have to take a pause to get through the stuff in your life, as a couple or individually, depending on how long that pause is, you might have to transition back in. You might have to take it slow to get back in. If it's a couple of weeks, you are you're probably fine. Just hop right in, get back to where you were. It's cool. If you're into a couple of months, maybe even just longer than a couple of weeks, the time frame on that is up to you, like where you're comfortable. Like if you feel like it, you've lost some of it and you're not even sure what to do next, then you need to do a slower transition. Yeah. If you're like, oh, I could do this tomorrow, it'd be fine.
Right.
Then
and,
you might not.
And like someone pointed out in live chat, you know, sometimes breaks can be beneficial. And I have found that in certain things, even outside of DS. When I'm working on something and I'm having especially if I'm having a difficult time with it, a lot of times I will step back and take a break for a while. And I found that when I come back to it, it's easier to get back into the routine. And I even find that there are, I've kind of lost some bad habits along the way.
I know for me, I have an enthusiasm that I didn't.
A little bit more
have.
Of enthusiasm. I have noticed that coming back from a break on something, sometimes it's easier to get in step. Still have that muscle memory, you know. So it's kind of easy to slide into it, but it's sometimes a smoother transition. Whereas before, I may have felt like I'm kind of
forcing it,
bumping heads.
And I think that's a good indicator. Especially if life, something has thrown a curveball at you, whether it's something you deal with on an ongoing basis or it's like new, temporary, but maybe long lasting. If the rest of your life is feeling forced, and you are telling yourself, again, if the word should comes out, I need you to like take a breath, sit back, ask yourself if that's the right word to be using. Because we can tell ourselves we have to keep moving forward, doing this thing. And we can convince ourselves that if we somehow stop that we're failing, or that we'll never get it back, or that it means that we're somehow not handling the stress in the right way. And while a DS dynamic is work, of course, every relationship requires work. I don't care what your flavor is. And there are times where it will be difficult. It will be strenuous. It will be mentally and physically taxing. All of those things. Yes. It should not feel forced. The thing it should not feel is forced. And if you are at a point in whatever's going on with your life, together or separately, everything feels forced, that's a moment to call a timeout. Not a break. Right. Not a we're going to end everything. A time out to say, okay, something's not right here. Maybe it's the situation I'm in. Maybe it's the dynamic we have, that this dynamic fit the life we had, and it does not fit the life we have right now.
Now, in a past relationship prior to you, I actually had a specific word in place that when that word was used, almost like a safe word, but a safe word that when used meant DS comes to a stop, step back, and talk about what's going on.
And you know what's funny? I know several people who have, at least in the past, I don't know if they still use it, have used that, and it works great for them. For me, that would never work because I'm always your submissive.
Yeah.
Even when I'm having to tell you what to do, I'm still the submissive in this relationship. Even when you're like, I cannot make any decisions, okay. So a timeout word for me won't work because what you're saying is stop being submissive right now. And I'm going to be like, can't. I guess I got to stop breathing and that's not happening. But because that's how that works or doesn't work for me, I have learned how to sometimes you wish I did not know this so well, to come out of the service role and go, here's what you need to fucking do. This is what we gonna do, okay? This is just real talk here. This is how this needs to go. Because in the my view of my submission, and that's all I can really have an opinion on, y'all, it's not about the tone I use. It's not about what I'm in charge of in this moment. It's not about what I'm doing in this moment. None of those things make me submissive. I'm submissive because that's who I am, because that's how I function within the relationship. Because even if in this moment he's dealing with something stressful and I got to take charge, in the overall relationship, he's still the daddy. I'm still the baby girl. He's still in charge and I'm not. I'm going to defer to him every chance I get, even if for these 5 days, 5 minutes, 5 months, I can't. That does not mean that when it goes on too long, that it is easy to do. Is not easy, because you can feel like you've lost a part of yourself. You start, I know for me, I start sort of aching for the things that I don't have. When the stress hits, like during the move, I don't notice that. I notice the stress. I notice the day-to-day trying to get through, and I'm not noticing that I miss certain aspects of our DS. As the stress either normalizes or we start working our way through the stress a little bit, that's when I notice it.
Yeah.
And that's when I'm, and then at that point now I'm cranky because I'm missing a part of myself and we're not doing our normal thing. So I think that's big, like really big picture of stress and your DS relationship. Let's get into the, like the details, because it happened to us today.
Yeah.
And this happens, that's the other thing. So there's the really big stresses in life and then there's the small little things. Totally small stressor that does not really impact our life today, but it was something we had to think about. It was the fact that we decided to cram a shit ton of stuff into one day on a day when we are on a very tight time schedule because we're recording this episode.
Right.
And so we decided, mutually we decided, that we would go to the grocery store and we would do this and we would do that and we would go do these errands and we would do this and we'd have to have these things done by this time so we could do the next thing, and we're only halfway through our day. And John Brownstone had two nights where he barely slept, and only last night finally got a full night's sleep.
Yes.
I am fine on my sleeping, but I'm, because it's a busy day, I'm not stressed out in a way like, oh no, I can't function, but I'm like on high alert. I'm very conscious of what time of day it is, what's next on our list, what, where should we be when. Part of that's my planner organizer self. Part of that's like my let's be as fucking efficient as possible. I don't have time to waste. So it's a different kind of stress. It's not the kind you usually associate with like really bad things happening. And so we're tense. Maybe tense is a better word.
Yeah.
When we are stressed together and not, and especially when it's the small, low-level stress, the daily things that kind of don't fucking matter, but it's just part of life, we get very cranky with one another.
Yeah, I admit I do tend to get a little snippy.
Very. And so I know, especially those of you who have watched or listened to us for a while, you know that we tease one another and I say things that a lot of submissives are like, I would never say, but it's okay because he's okay with it and blah, blah, blah. No, no.
Well, you were a little bit more so with me today.
I was.
Because yesterday you were trying to talk to me about today.
Right.
And
so I'm
trying
to be efficient and plan.
Right. And that's what we normally do. I had gone on 2 days no sleep. Yesterday was day two of no sleep, and it was bad. It was you know, it happens to me. Insomnia is something I've dealt with for longer than I can remember, and usually I can barrel through. This particular one was not one I could barrel through, and by yesterday, I was in rough shape. And she was, you know, the day before, she was talking to me about topics and this, and my mind was in such a fog, I could not comprehend the simplest thing. I was in bed by 9 o'clock last night.
But, and the other thing is, because he was so tired, he was not communicating to me that he was like, I can't do this, I can't do this. So I'm barreling through, like I do, making plans. And as a stress that's not a highly negative stress. It's just right. like the stress of doing the things we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was impatience with one another.
Yeah. And then this morning, a lot of the things that had been talked about yesterday, she had to repeat.
And here's
because
the thing.
She was like, do you remember us talking about this yesterday? No, I don't.
So I would like to think that I am a kind and caring and, you know, warm-hearted person. Maybe I am sometimes. I don't know. I'll let other people decide. But what I am is an efficient bitch, okay? And the thing, and it's a personal pet peeve. It is my thing to deal with. It is not really anybody else's problem because I know the whole world doesn't work the way I think it should work. The thing that will drive me batty, like just up the fucking wall, is inefficiency. And I don't know why, because I'm not always efficient the way I'd like to be, but that is like one of my pet peeves. Like if I feel like we're doing double work, I'm having to repeat myself, people aren't paying attention when I need them to be paying attention, I get cranky. Now, I woke up this morning and went, I hope he slept well.
I did.
I hope he got rest, but I'll bet money I will have to tell him everything we talked about yesterday.
Ding, 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 ding.
And here's the thing. I knew that. Didn't matter. So I'm telling myself, you're going to have to repeat yourself. And I'm hating that I'm going to have to repeat myself. And that is my personal problem. That is nobody else's fucking problem. But now we're in our day. And I pretty much, it's the school year. I hit the fucking ground running. Like I'm out. I'm up at 6. I'm dressed, showered, dressed. And this time with makeup on by 6:30. I'm waking up children. I'm getting them together. Well, by 7, we're out the door to get them to school. This case, by 7:30, we were back. He and I were in the car headed out on our day. Mm-hmm. So it's just a kind of constantly moving day. My brain is going, 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 going of, okay, we've got to do this. Then we'll be doing this. Then after that, and I'm keeping up with it all. And I'm like mapping it out and looking at the time. And I'm trying in the middle also to record a vlog because I'm clearly a masochist. And we're trying to talk about things. And at the same time that we're trying to talk about which cut of meat would you like to purchase from Sam's Club, I'm also going, hey, what podcast topic do you want this week? Because he's been so tired. I would have talked about it on Monday, and we couldn't. Like, normally we at least know the day before. We knew 2 hours before. And I'm getting frustrated because it's not a serious, scary, horrible stress, but it's a thing that's a stressor on my mind. He is feeling lost and dazed and confused because he's like, she's talking like we've been talking about this stuff. I don't know. Yeah. And he's constantly asking me to repeat myself. And what's happening is every time I have to repeat myself, my voice gets sharper and sharper and sharper, which is my fault and my problem. And I totally own it. But it's not until like the fifth time of me being sharp and him coming back at me sharp that he finally says, baby girl, I'm tired, I'm groggy, I don't even remember yesterday. Please be patient with me.
Right.
And here's what happens. And this, I think, happens to more of us than we want to sometimes admit. So he says, please be patient with me. And he just sounds really frustrated and really like, ugh. And I felt bad. I immediately felt bad. I felt a little bit of shame. Like, oh God, I did that, didn't I? And I knew better. And that wasn't very submissive of me. And some of us have this habit. I'm not the only one. That when I get called out, I get angry. I get angry at myself. I'm genuinely angry at myself. But I don't want to feel that way, so I'll lash out the other way. I will, not to deflect like that it was my fault, not to pretend that it wasn't, but so I don't want to feel that way. And so he's frustrated with me. I'm frustrated back because I feel like shit because I did talk that way because I was stressed out. And so we in Sam's Club, we probably looked like a couple that's not the happiest to be together because we were like, well, we need to do this. Well, you need to do that. It was not our best selves. It was not at all our best selves. And so you're like, okay, well, what the fuck do you do about that? In the moment, very little. Very little. Sometimes I think what we both did is we just stopped talking. If every word out of your mouth is making the situation worse, my personal life advice to you, DS or not, just stop talking for a few minutes. Just shut the fuck up, walk away, swallow it down, take a deep breath, because you're only going to make it worse the more you say. And I think that's what I ended up doing in Sam's. We're pushing, he's pushing the cart. I'm like following the list. Yep. I'm like, we need this, we need that. And we both just kind of went to our mutual corners. He was behind the buggy. I was in front of it. Buggy is the southern word for cart. Sorry, y'all. And by the time, I think by the time we left the store, I was speaking in a, I was teasing you again because you lost the car. But I was back to the right tone, the proper tone. And you were back to communicating, I'm still really tired, or I don't remember that. Do you mind repeating it? And that's the thing.
Yeah.
When you're both stressed out, you're going to react in the way you just sort of naturally react, like how you've probably been reacting most of your life, right? And when it is clear that the situation is escalating, everybody just shut the hell up, back off to your mutual corners. But if you can, if you have the presence of mind in the middle of it, fall back on open communication. Fall back on any good communication skills you might have. Maybe you're still developing them. I'm still developing them, okay? That's fine. And the best thing you did was to preface everything, like when you had a question, you prefaced it with, I don't remember that, I or I'm really tired, can you help me with this? And because we had I had recognized that we had escalated in our sniping back and forth, and we had had that moment to breathe separate from one another, when we came back together and we're talking again, I was in the right frame of mind to go, okay, focus on what he's telling you. Focus on this moment. Stop thinking was about
little,
the list.
It was a little bit of a reset.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a reset.
Yes, which was what we both needed.
It was what we both needed. And then, of course, we could giggle about the fact that that, I think, is when we decided we would talk about stress today. That's when we decided. Yep. I will be the first to admit that I do not like to be reminded of when I have fucked up. I don't like it. I don't. I know I'm not alone in that. Other people, I don't think anybody likes it. I mean, I don't, unless you're like a real masochist, nobody likes to be reminded that they've like screwed up. So I had to. He was still kind of teasing me for being kind of bitchy to him. Yes, submissives can be cranky, bitchy. Pick a word that is appropriate to you, to their dominant partners. And so I was feeling, you know, like again, there was a little bit of shame there. Like, oh God, I fucking did that. But because I was recognizing what had happened, instead of coming back with my like snarky comment that would have just escalated things again, I just kind of like smiled, or I laughed, or I tried to find a joke. Remember last week we were talking about humor and laughter? But I think that, and I remember this from every past relationship I ever had that didn't work out, which has been all of them until this one. Could you please break that streak of those relationships not working out?
Working on it.
I never had the skills or the communication skills or the awareness that that's what was happening. And this is my style. When I get stressed out, and I think most of us are like this, when we get stressed out, we get real short. We get real, some people get real quiet. Some people have nothing to say, but I have no patience. I lose all patience and all tolerance for, oh, you need extra explanation. You need extra time. And it's not my best self. It's not a part of me.
I think
proud
when
of.
When you are feeling stressed and you're in that moment, patience does tend to wear thin.
And I think that is absolutely natural.
And that's normal.
That's normal and natural. It happens to many of us. But in past relationships, I didn't know. I didn't realize that I was being impatient and snapping, and we were snapping, and it was just escalating bigger and bigger, more and more. And even when we would take like a breather and just get away from one another, because of the nature of how those relationships were not the best for me, it was never a reset where we came back on a like neutral territory. We would just jump right back into it. Part of it is because we never resolved those issues. And if that's the kind of stress you're dealing with, where it's a lot of unresolved stuff, and every time you're speaking to one another on some level, whether you're physically together or it's just like over the phone or long distance or whatever, if you can never come back to a place of, okay, that moment was not great, but maybe we can try this again and let's reset and let's, you know, see what we can do, that does happen. And the stress at that point then compounds itself because you're stressed about whatever's got you stressed out about. And then because it's life, there's more stuff coming at you to stress you out. Now you're stressed out about your relationship. and you're not communicating as well as you'd like to, and you don't feel like you're being heard, there's a good chance your partner doesn't feel like they're being heard, and you're talking at one another and not to one another. Mm-hmm. And I think that that happens in every type of relationship there is between people in general. There comes a point where things are going on, and that's what you're doing. You're talking at one another. If you can recognize that that's happening and do your best to go, whoop, time out. I'm going to go this corner, you go to that corner, let's take a breath. And then hopefully both of you will, but if at least one of you will come back to that conversation or that moment or just to each other later and go, okay, we were just talking at one another, not to each other. How about I listen and then you listen and let's do some more listening. And it, you know, and maybe you don't say it that way. I would say it that way now because I spend a lot of my time explaining these things to the internet. I will say to him, we're not listening to one another very well. Right. You might not use those words, but that is what is happening. And that is a way that stress will absolutely impact your DS relationship. Mm-hmm. All roles might go out the window. You're not effectively communicating. You're saying what you think, but if you're not listening to the other person, then you're not talking to them. You're talking at them. And you do that too long, and you will start creating breaches and tears in the relationship itself. I think most of those can be repaired. But it just makes everything else more stressful.
Yeah.
Which then goes back to something we've done an episode about. Y'all, any episodes I'm mentioning, I'll try to link in appropriate places for whichever medium you are getting this on. Is why your DS relationship is about teamwork. When that starts to fragment is when one of you is the stressor in the DS relationship. Mm. And sometimes that's because you're not functioning as a team. Sometimes your partner does not even have the concept that you should be functioning as a team, and you gotta like educate them and get them to figure this out and get them on your team. But all of the stress we've ever gone through that we did not create for ourselves at one another. Okay. Right. And that's when the sniping comes in. That's when the not talking to each other in your typical way and the not being as kind as you could be and the talking at each other, not talking to each other. All that aside, the stress we've always come through the best, that's a relative term, of course, depending on what's going on, is when we approached the problem like a team.
Right. Absolutely.
When we looked at the problem and said, there's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. John Brownstone is going to quit his job before he gets outed. That was totally a thing. That was 100 episodes ago, I think. Yeah. That was highly stressful. And there were a lot of decisions to be made. And if what we had done is gone separate ways and thought about it, you know, individually and then tried to come back together.
We'd have been in deep doo-doo.
We would have been... He'd have been on track A and I'd have been on track B and we either would never have met or we'd have collided because we'd have been at different cross purposes. What we did was we said, okay, this is our problem. This is our life. This affects our world.
Right.
What are we going to do about it?
Yeah.
And I think that people going through stress, dom, sub, I don't care where you're at in there, you'll see something that's happening with you. Maybe it's a family member sick. Maybe it's your job has been lost. You've just lost your job. Maybe it's your health. Yes, those things are absolutely happening to you.
Mm-hmm.
But they are, in their own way, happening to your partner as well. Okay? Yeah. Oh, yeah. In a different way completely, but everybody's affected. So instead of trying to...
Well, stress knows no bounds.
Isn't that the truth? And even if you think you're containing the problem... Your stress is bleeding onto the rest of your relationship, on every relationship you have with every human being on the, you know, that you know. Okay, this isn't just a DS thing. But in DS, if you sit down with your partner and say, look, this is the thing I'm dealing with. How can we deal with it? Now, first of all, be very, very concerned if your partner's like, what we? This is your problem. That person is not playing on your team. Is that the person you'd like on your team? Maybe not. Okay. And truly big, stressful, negative things that happen to us can teach us who really is on our side and who is not, and who will stand with us and who won't. Mm-hmm. And it is devastating to learn that about somebody that you care about and that you thought you were going to build something with. In the time of high stress, it is awful. Is horrible. It compounds all the other stresses you're going through. It starts to make you think that the life is like raining shit down on your head. And all of those feelings are valid. And none of it's hard. I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound real easy because it's always easier to say than it is to live through. You don't need that fucking person. Let them go. Kick them off your fucking team. Okay? Because if you're like, oh my God, I have this massive thing happening in my life, it's going to affect our DS. There's no way around that. Okay? This major thing is happening in my life. It will impact us.
Yeah.
And that person has no desire to at least try to figure out how you can face it together. They've just shown you who they are. You know? People show you who they are in the tough times. When life is good, it's easy. It's easy to be fun. It's easy to be dominant. It's easy to be submissive. It's, even when it's not easy, it's easier. But when it's like, ah, shit's getting real now, and I'm not going to be able to do XYZ that I normally did for you, how can we work through this together? And they're not interested. You don't want them on your team. You need somebody on your team.
Here, you know.
Sorry, I ranted. That's all right. Got hot and sweaty.
Here's a good example of how this works with teamwork. I had a situation at the beginning of this week where I went out to the shop and had several items I was intending to turn on the lathe. Didn't happen. My lathe went south. It motor pulley sheared.
Sorry, my brain hurt. Wah, wah.
Yeah, I know. The pulley on the motor that runs the lathe, it broke. It literally just broke, split in half. And the lathe is under warranty, which is a good thing. So I, you know, should be able to get that fixed, right? I had an experience earlier this spring with the warranty. The actual company that I bought the lathe that the warranty goes through, they're great. They handle everything easy peasy. The warranty providers, not so great. So I knew what I wanted to do, which I have some mechanical experience. I took the part off. I know I can put it back together and fix it. This had the making of a stressful situation.
Oh, you were definitely stressed. I saw it in your face.
Right. I came in and I explained the situation to Kayla. She was like, well, we need to find out what the part costs.
Yeah, I went into analytical mode. It was right. Great.
which was great, because this was heading in the direction I wanted it to go.
Of course, had he communicated those expectations to me in the beginning.
I did not want to communicate because I did not want to skew the outcome.
So now I'm an experiment.
Yes.
Okay, fair.
So we looked, and the price of the part was very reasonable.
$20.
Yeah.
For us, that was below our threshold.
Right. She gave a threshold. This was well below that threshold. And I thought of having the machine laid up for a month and a half to go through the warranty provider.
Yeah, Lord.
So, ordered the part. Stressful situation resolved.
And we resolved it together.
Right.
And
we did it together.
So somebody out there would be like, you asked your sub what to do and then you did what they said. Nah, motherfucker. He asked for my advice.
Right.
I gave it to him and then he made a decision.
I already had.
Happened to give good advice.
Yeah. Well, because I already knew I did not want to go through the warranty provider. I knew if I could get the part, I can put it back in and fix it a lot quicker. Mm-hmm. I just needed that.
You need a little bit of validation. You need
exactly.
It's a business thing. That's a business expense. And
right.
So he needed his co-CEO to, you know, be like, yeah, let's do that. But that's the other thing. So I just went on a rant about those people who don't want to be on your team. Here's the thing. Subs and doms. I see both of you doing this. So this is not a sub thing or a dom thing. Stop trying to hold on to all your stress by your damn self.
Right.
Okay. When, as a dominant, when you're going through something, it does not make you weak to then turn to your submissive and go, I need some help. First of all, you're letting them submit to you in some way. If they are a service submissive, you're helping them be of service to you. So you're probably hitting a kink there somewhere.
Right.
But you're also not weak. And submissives, I know that many of us are trying to be strong, and we are strong people, and we don't want to burden our dominant partner. And especially if it's not like a long-term relationship where you have this like really deep commitment to one another, you're still developing it and building it. You're thinking, oh, I don't want them to see me at my worst. I want to keep it light. I want to keep it fun. Mm-hmm. I want to keep it whatever. That's fair enough. That's a legit right. thing to think. I totally get it. But if you are not at least cluing your partner in and saying, this massive thing is going on, can I talk this through with you? Or if you are a little bit more comfortable saying, can you help me? Here's what's funny to me, and one of these days maybe we'll do an episode on this, because it hits me at different times and in different topics. Mm-hmm. When you, as a dominant or a submissive, say something like, can you help me? We all worry that we're somehow not being who we are. We're asking for something that conflicts with the opposite side of the slash, when in fact, it's such a human thing that when a dominant says, can you help me? What you've just said to your submissive is, can you serve? If they are service submissive, I'm telling you, they are very happy. Even if they're stressed out, there's some part of them that's like, yes. When you as a submissive ask your dominant, can you help me? As long as they're not an asshole, they're being put in a position, maybe not of power or control, but of maybe leading, of guidance, of, depending on how they view dominance and what like hits them well, of nurturing. Mm-hmm. Like dominance, some dominance, I'm not, no blanket statements here, but many dominants want to take care of their submissive, just as submissives want to take care of their dominance. We do it in different ways. We think of it in different ways. It hits different parts of us on different levels, but it's a human thing. It's not mm-hmm. a dominant thing or a submissive thing. It's a human thing, especially in a relationship that hopefully has some kind of bond and you're growing close in.
Yeah.
So I don't care which side of the relationship, and switches may know this even better because you're mm-hmm. going back and forth in different ways. It's a human thing. You are not less right. dominant or less submissive when this happens. So please stop that. All you're doing is hurting mm-hmm. your relationship, because either you are trying to now hold it all together because you did not bring your team member into the problem to try and yeah. face it together, and you're dealing with your stress, whatever the thing is that's going on around you, right? And you've decided, I know you because I get your messages and I stalk you on Twitter. You have decided you have to somehow keep it all together, and you have to keep your DS going mm-hmm. the exact way it's been going.
Yeah.
So if you don't, you are a failure. Bullshit. Clue them the fuck in and face whatever the stress is together.
Yeah. I mean, it makes it so much easier. And what you think is a looming mountain may only be a molehill.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I mean, what that did to me coming to her and explaining to her what was going on with the lathe, all right, I was looking at a number of different things that were going on. Yes, the machine is under warranty, which is one of the reasons I bought the machine. So I know anything truly major will be taken care of. This is a minor thing. Is that worth tying the machine up for a month and a half to have them replace a part? But by going to her and explaining to her what was going on, the ramifications, you know, possibility, if I work on this, it could void the warranty, it could do this, could do that. It gave me a sounding board from the outside to better base my decision.
And here's what's funny on that. So the way he explained it to me, he was very intense. It was a very serious decision we had to make because he was stressing out about it. He wasn't mm-hmm. like going off the rails stressed out, but it was a stressor. It was a thing that could be potentially not great. And he wanted my input. And I went, well, this is what I would do, right? Because I am not as attached to that stressor as he is.
Mm-hmm.
I have some distance. I'm not a completely objective third party, because if he ain't working, he ain't making nothing,
yeah.
whatever. But I wasn't like deep in it, right? So he's like really intense, like leaning forward, and here's the things, and here's all the things I've thought about, and here's all this. And it's like, it's just deep, deep explanation. And I went, well, just do this. And it was funny because it tracked with what he was thinking. Anyway, he went, oh yeah, and you could actually mm-hmm. see him visibly relax. Like his shoulders were going higher and higher up around his ears, and they just fell, and he had been sitting really straight on his stool out in the garage, the shop, and he just sort of sat back, and I watched him take a breath.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I wasn't thinking about it in the moment. It was like, that's right, because for you, that was a highly stressful moment. Right. And for me,
and,
I didn't
and
feel it as much.
Because of what happened, it also triggered what happened prior to this. When the lathe went down the last time, the parent company sent the part in a heartbeat.
Yeah, we had it in a few days.
We had it in a few days. Right. The warranty provider, they would not respond to email, text, or phone calls.
Once they realized that they weren't going to get paid by the parent company because they did the process incorrectly.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, my whole point to this, though, is that you're the one living with the problem or thinking about what the problem could be or seeing what the outcomes could be. Mm-hmm. And that stress is ramping up, and it is starting to feel bigger and bigger and bigger. And whether it is legitimately like a massive problem or it is something that just feels big right now because it's you're living with it and you're facing it,
mm-hmm.
bringing in your partner and getting them to give you their opinion or talking through solutions together or just letting you talk it out, like maybe not saying anything and just letting you talk it out, can turn down the heat a little bit. It can sometimes things that felt really big in the moment, once you kind of work them through with somebody else, they're not as big as you thought they were, or there's a simpler solution than you were even envisioning.
Right. And I think the hard part about that for people is when you have something stressful like that going on, it's maybe hard for some people to open up like that because it's a vulnerability.
Absolutely. But you know what? The one place you should be able to open up is with the partner that you just said, hey, can I take total control over you? Or hey, can I give up all my control?
Right.
If they're doing whatever your kinky shit is and you already got vulnerable enough to say, this is who I want to be in this relationship, let's mm-hmm. do that together, you've already proven that you're capable of having these conversations, and hopefully your partner has proven that they can handle
right.
these conversations. So yes, it is difficult. This is not me minimizing the how difficult this can be and how hard it can be, especially if you have a history of not having a supportive partner or the outcome not being as good once you have sort of been vulnerable like this with previous partners. But it goes back to what I said a little bit ago. If you, first of all, the only way forward is to kind of go through it, right? Like you need to find a way to open up. As long as you feel mm-hmm. safe, and when I mean safe, I mean like you not dealing with a potential like toxic, dangerous situation.
Mm-hmm.
You open up and you learn more about the future of this relationship than you might even realize at the time, because how are they reacting? How do they respond? Are they, even if they're confused, are they listening? Are they willing to be helpful? They might not have the answers, but they're like, okay, let's figure this out together. Or yes, I will support you. Or I am so sorry that's happening to you. And they're giving you a little bit of what you need. Well, that tells you that there might be something there and you can keep moving forward. You get vulnerable about this thing you're going through and they act like a total asshole. You just learned a whole hell of a
mm-hmm.
lot. They are not on your team. Kick them off. Okay, they don't get to play with your blocks and you're this and you're that. You take your toys and you go home and you go find somebody who's going to be on your team.
There you go.
Because you don't, here's the thing, if you've got a partner, and I'm going to use that term like kind of loosely, right, who's not willing to at least listen, right, maybe not have answers, maybe not have solutions, but just listen and be there for you and try in the way that they're capable of supporting you through this stressful time, that's only going to compound itself. Because right. the stress you're going through, big or small, will probably get worse before it gets better, typical of stress.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't be the last time you feel stressed.
No.
And so you're dealing with this outside stress, and you know you don't have the support of the person that you're depending on in your power exchange. Like, if what you're looking for is a partner you can depend on in your power exchange, then y'all gotta be on the same team. You know, I've known people who were play partners that were more decent people to their play partners than I've seen in some DS air quote around relationship. Like, you know, not, and here's the thing, not a good partnership doesn't have to be one where you plan on getting married and living together forever or that you're deeply in love with one another. That kind of partnership just comes from a place of mutual respect and caring for the person that you're with, because you genuinely don't want them to be a miserable human being. You want them to have a healthy, whole, full life. And so while I know many people who listen to us or watch these videos are thinking of long-term loving DS relationships, I think this shit still applies, even if that's not what you're trying to develop. If you're trying to develop some form of relationship, maybe without sex, without romance, but it's that deep connection of a power exchange, it's a relationship between two people. You are interconnected. Yeah. And so therefore, if they're going to be your dominant, your submissive, there is a responsibility on either side of the slash to the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can't fix each other's stress. Many times there's nothing that the other person can do to make that stress go away. There just isn't.
But just knowing that she has my back
Makes a big help. It makes all the difference in the world. I know that if something stressful hits me out of nowhere that will impact him on the periphery, of course, because we're married and we live together and our lives are intertwined. But when I know that something stressful goes down, a client doesn't want to work together anymore, that's money out of our pocket, that's going to stress me out even a little bit. I know he's the first person I'm going to, and he might not have a single answer for me. I don't always need him to have answers. You know, I need him to support me. I need him to listen to me. I need him to be a sounding board. I need him to tell me what he thinks. I need him to know what the hell is going on. So when I freak out over something small and inconsequential, he knows it's actually because I'm stressed out about that big thing over there.
Yeah.
And then in the process of doing that, if one of us knows that the other one is going through something, we have developed in our relationship ways to help the other one still feel connected to our mindset when possible.
Mm-hmm.
So like, okay, when his sister was really sick and in the hospital and all of that, no, he was like, don't ask me to do anything that's related to dominance right now.
Yeah.
That wasn't appropriate. But at times when he was feeling out of control at his old job, I would say, okay, could you exert some more control at home? Let me help you feel your dominant self, because you feel like, oh, you feel like absolute crap when you're at work. So when you come home, this should be a place where, to the best of your abilities, you can exert that authority and that control and that power in more ways than you normally would to hopefully help offset that. Submissives, the same thing can be true for you. Talk to your partner. If you are having to take control in one area of your life because of the stress you're under, it's hard to feel submissive. It's hard to shut that off when you come home, especially if you're working outside the house, or I say come home for me, and it's like when the day is officially done.
And you step away from your desk.
When I finally sit, like 9 o'clock at night, when I finally get up from my desk. And so some people create rituals to shift the mindset. Some people just add more tasks. Some people do more kinky fuckery. Like, it's going to depend on what works for you and how your relationship works. But that's also the beauty and the benefit of communicating about what the hell's going on and working the stress as a team. Because you will, between you, it'll be a lot of trial and error, but you will figure out in this particular stress or in this particular time what you need, what the other person needs. You will not get it right the first time. You'll fuck it up. It's okay. You will try something and you'll both be into it, and then you'll try it and you'll look at each other and know that didn't work. I mean, we have learned under like when my anxiety's high, you can't come at me with a spanking. Nope. I don't have a pain tolerance, truly. And my mind can't shut off. When I'm in one set mindset, I can't handle this, or I'm in another, I can't handle that. But we had to learn that by trying it.
Yeah.
And then me going, no, that did not work. And then us talking about it as soon as we were able to talk about it. Because sometimes you won't be able to talk about a thing right when it's happening. There's too many emotions.
That's true.
There's too much going on in your head. You got to take a breath. You got to walk away. You got to have 5 minutes yourself. You got to do whatever you've got to do to be able to breathe and think through it. But then you should always come back and go, oh, we tried that, right? Yeah, that didn't work. Let's not do that again. Or let's not do that in those circumstances. We do that a lot.
Yes.
We'll try like a new form of play, or we did wax play, and we'll try new toys, and we'll just sort of play with them thinking we know how we're going to enjoy them. And when we're done and it's at the right time, we'll do a debrief. And I'm like, you know, if you change the angle here, if you did it this way, if we did it at this time of day, if we tried this, like it's a feedback thing.
Yeah.
It still holds true when you're trying to deal with stress. Actually, I would say you need to communicate more when you're dealing with a stressor in your life. And I think it's a fallacy to say that stress will automatically bring you closer in your DS relationship. I think it's how you navigate stress in your DS relationship that can bring you closer. Because if you have been developing your communication skills with one another, even if they're not as great as they will be a few years from now, when you rely on those and you lean on each other as best as you can in the way that works for you, because you know you're on the same team,
mm-hmm.
and then you get through the stress together, it's after that particular stressor is kind of, you're past it or it's normalized for you, that's when you see that it strengthened you and that you've grown closer. And what that does, hopefully, depending on the next stress, because every stress is different, the next time something big hits, you've got the experience from the previous time and then everything else that's happened in between, and you can build upon that and you have a foundation to start from of, okay, this is what worked last time, let's start here, you know, let's have this conversation. Mm-hmm. What can I do for you? What do you need? And, you know, it might sound, maybe it sounds overwhelming to people, but for me, it's a comfort. Every experience we go through as a couple is a learning experience. I don't always see it in that moment, good or bad. I'm not looking at it that way. But when I look back, I go, okay, what's the lesson to take from that? And then I just apply it to the future. And it's how I've gotten better and more comfortable with my communication. He's gotten better and more comfortable with his. We can now, in the middle of a stressful moment, when one of us is being not so nice to the other one, we can actually stop each other in mid-conversation and go, I know what's happening here. I can't seem to stop myself, but I know what's happening. And it all just builds upon each other over time. You never get it completely right. It's never perfect. You will always fuck it up. There will always be something new to kind of whammy you a little bit.
There's always a monkey wrench to get thrown in the gears.
Right. But you know what? As you go forward in the relationship, working together through the small stressors and the big ones, the stress doesn't become easier, but navigating it with a partner you can depend on and trust does.
Goes a long way, yeah.
Because you start noticing problems in the past and you can stop them sooner.
Mm-hmm.
Like when something big happens to one of us, we know to stop. Go talk to the other one.
Yeah.
Like, that's the first thing we do. Even if we don't get any answers or comfort or whatever we need, that's what we do. We get each other on the same page so we can move forward together. But that's why this is a journey. It's a process. Mm-hmm. There's no destination here. There's no point when you're like the perfect happy DS couple. Like, this doesn't fucking work that way. It's a process. We've been together 6 years now,
mm-hmm.
and we can still bitch at each other in the middle of grocery shopping because one of us is stressed out. But we can also recover from it much, much faster.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, I have babbled about stress. I have so many thoughts about stress because I recognized later I probably have lived under some level of chronic stress, even younger than just my 20s. But it was the kind that other people would look at. I tell them elements of my life and they're like, how did you even sleep at night? I'm like, it started to feel normal after a while. And I'm just now sort of learning how to relax a little bit. That's a process too, by the way. We have a bonus section.
Uh-huh.
We got mail.
Yep.
Yeah. Hopefully everything continues. Podcast listeners, you're very fortunate. Everything kept recording for y'all, but the poor live stream watchers, what the fuck happened to that video?
They had a little speed bump in the middle there.
I might have to do some post live stream editing on the video. We'll see. So, that is, I think, it for us.
We good?
Except for the bonus section that's coming.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go so far as to call us good. No.
We're as good as we can be.
There you go, as good as we can be.
All right. Ready?
Vaguely.
Keep it kinky,
y'all, and we'll see you next week.
Yes, baby girl.
Can I please talk to the crickets?
You like talking to the crickets.
I love talking to the crickets.
You do.
It's my favorite part of the whole week.
Ah.
I know. I feel like we should do more on Patreon so I can talk to the crickets more often.
Yeah.
I just want to talk to the crickets. Can I please talk to the crickets?
Talk to
them. Yay!
Yes.
Okay.
Ooh. I was wondering how long it was going to take you to catch
actually
on.
To actually ask. Yeah. Okay, real quick, our Patreon shout out for this episode. I don't even know what that is. This episode. Patreon shout outs.
Yeah.
Thank you to LaRonna, Lauren, James, Bella Pink, Baby Girl, CDC, and Sir and Her 78, which I did get confirmation is both their birth years. So, they're a year older than I am. I'm okay with that. It's fine. My birthday is in October, and I turn 40, and I'm not sure what any of that means, if anything.
Not a thing. No. You're still you.
I thought it was a milestone birthday. It's not. It's nothing. It's a nothing burger. My 40th birthday is a nothing burger. Is that what I'm hearing here? Which, actually, I hate that expression, nothing burger. It's been around for a long time, but political people on Twitter, like, had it trending at one point.
Here's the thing. You've been stressing about turning 40 because I'm getting older.
It's a fun joke to
I'm
make.
I'm getting older.
He's 58. When I say I'm getting older, I get total side eye. Like, bitch, please.
Right? Put things into perspective here.
Well, you know what? My mother, who is 1 year older than you, by the way, that's not weird at all. She keeps going, I'm going to be 60. Next year she turned 60. She said, I'm going to be 60. And I'm like, I don't know what I thought 60 was, but you are not it. Like, to me, that she personifies 50. Same with you. Like, I know how old you are. Yeah. But to me, in my mind, my young, like, back in the day when we all thought, like, when we were 10 and thought 25 was old, like, 50 and 60 were way older in my head. And they are not really.
If
I had to guess, I'd put you at 50.
Late teens, 17, 18, I was thinking, I was of that generation, don't trust anyone over 30. And I thought, oh my God, 30 is so old.
I remember thinking that too. But no, actually, 40 is just sort of a mindset thing for me. And I do. I go through this every time I change a decade. Like, when I went from 19 to 20, I was too young to notice. I was trying to get to 21 so I could legally right? drink. I was already drinking, but I wanted to be legal.
Yeah.
But 29 to 30, heading into 30, I didn't feel old. I just kind of went, oh my God, a decade's over. Like, I can't say I'm in my 20s. Now I'm in my 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having that same transition again. I feel good about going into 40. I'm trying to be, like, at my best through my 40s, so hopefully that means something good. Yeah. But it is still a milestone of, like, whoa, 40. But as somebody who has always felt older than and been treated like I was older than I really am, whatever. Okay, so earlier in the recording, somebody asked us to, in the chat, somebody asked us to talk about kids going back to school.
Yes.
And I have a proud mom moment. So the kids are back at school. They've adjusted.
Mm-hmm.
The youngest one refuses to go through the lunch line. So he brings his lunch every day, but he makes his lunch every day and I don't care.
Right.
The oldest has multiple lines to choose from with different types of foods. He will only go through the pizza line, not because he loves pizza that much, but because he's comfortable with that line. And so that's the one he goes through. You can tell they're my children.
It's the quickest one for him to get through so he can go hang out with his friends.
Also, he's nervous. He doesn't know what to... He told me, I don't know what's in those other lines. It makes me nervous. These are my children.
There's vegetables in that, those other lines.
There was apparently some good shit, too. I've been looking at the menu, but he wasn't having it.
Yeah.
But they are adjusting. They're doing great. But the oldest, he's in high school, 9th grade. His old school was a charter school that runs, like, kindergarten through middle school. He started in fifth grade, and ran through middle school. And his 8th grade year, he was in all advanced classes, and two classes had a end of course test.
Right.
That's how you got high school credit. And we thought that only the courses that offered those tests transferred high school credit to the student if they passed. So we knew he had his algebra credit from 8th grade,
right,
because he's in geometry now. He didn't have to take algebra again. And we thought he had a biology credit, and we got that confirmed. But he actually got pulled out of class yesterday, sent to the guidance counselor's office. He's telling me the story. He's like, Mom, I was so freaked out. I was in so much trouble. I'm like, I would have felt the same way.
Mm.
The anxiety is strong in my gene pool. And so he found out they were pulling him from his English 1 honors class and putting him in English 2 honors because he had gotten a credit in 8th grade for English 1.
Right. And that's not all.
And he found out that the Spanish class he took in eighth grade counted for high school credit, and he got a Spanish credit. So he walked into high school with 4 credits already.
Yep.
He was like, Mom, I've already got this, and they're bumping me, and they're doing this. I was so excited.
Yes.
I have learned with him not to get over exuberant in my excitement.
Mm-hmm.
Because he really hates that. He's like, Mom, you're so embarrassing. And I there are times I'll do it playfully, but this was one of those times I wanted him to sort of revel in the accomplishment that in eighth grade, he did well enough that he, and was in these classes, he got these credits. His goal of doing dual enrollment and getting maybe out of high school either earlier or with like this crazy weighted GPA has potential.
Right.
And so this was not a time I was going to be goofy and like embarrass him with my pride and excitement. So I kept it low key, but I was like, proud mom moment. He was so happy. But now he's like, oh my God, my English 2 class, I'm the youngest one in there. I'm like, yeah, they're probably all sophomores. I'm sure they are. He's like, they're all older than me. And he's at that age. That's a very important thing. I'm like, dude, I promise you by the time you get like to your mid to late 20s, it doesn't fucking matter anymore.
Well, what kind of hit him at the start of school was when he was at the other school, being in the middle school, he was at the top of the food chain.
Yeah.
Okay. And he looked down on all the little kids coming into band and all the other stuff. You know,
yes. I'm taller than you. I'm better than you. I'm older than you. I'm smarter than you. And I kept telling him, dude, you're going to go to high school. This is going to happen. It's going to change.
And he is now at the bottom of the food chain again.
Yeah, he is.
You know?
But he's doing okay. He's making friends in band.
Yes.
He's making friends in his other classes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also learning some of the ridiculousness of high school. Like a couple of his classes, they haven't actually done anything for the first 2 weeks because they've had substitutes because the teacher left or was asked to leave. You never know which.
Mm.
And there's been no replacement yet. Like, so he's doing great. Somebody else asked about our escapades in the gym and how that's going. We have been members for one whole week as of the date of this recording. And we have, I think, wisely taken it slow.
Yes, we've not tried to overdo it. We have actually been 3 times, which is our goal at this point, to go 3 days a week. We've got those days staggered out. It's Wednesday, Friday, Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And not try to overdo it, just to ease into it, because just like everything else, just like we talk about starting out DS, you don't want to jump in too fast, too quick, and overwhelm yourself. So we have started out slowly. So far, it's going fairly well.
Mm-hmm.
We have had a little bit of soreness. Not too terribly much.
No, and part of it was we did take it very easy when we finally got on some weight machines.
Mm-hmm.
And we took the trainer. We went through the orientation that the trainer at the gym offered. We haven't taken any other classes with her yet. We liked her. She was really cool.
Yeah.
But we went through the orientation, and she said, you know, work to your fitness level. Don't worry about what anybody else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
She said, and I had heard this before, but it's always good to have it reiterated. She was like, if you're trying to build strength to tone up, lighter on the weight, higher on the reps. If you're trying to like bulk up, build muscle, flip that. And we're like, we're not here to bulk up. I just want to tone up.
You know, I've lost a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that bad,
the visceral fat that was around your tummy, in the stomach.
And I'd like to try and tighten my core, strengthen my core a bit.
And I don't know what this apparatus is called. I'm going to try and describe it. Anybody who goes to the gym, either in the chat on YouTube or tweet at me or something, if you know the name, because I don't know the name. But it's not a machine. It has no pulleys or levers or anything. It's a stationary thing, and you put your forearms and elbows on these pads. You step up onto it so that when you step down, your legs are swinging.
Your feet are hanging.
You hold yourself with your arms and your shoulders.
By your forearms.
Which are at 90-degree angles, and you pull your lower body up. You can do it with your legs straight out in front of you, or you can pull your knees up.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's an ab workout, and it's also an arm and shoulder thing.
It's like a hanging crunch.
Yeah, and I'm sure that thing has a name. That is our new challenge to ourselves.
Yep.
Because that was the last thing we did in our last workout. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't think I could do even one. I was like, I've never done anything
like
this.
Four?
I did four. You did what, 10?
I did a full 10 reps.
Right. Yeah. And so I think maybe weekly. I don't think we need to do it every time we go. But it'll be a new gauge for, are we gaining strength? Are we strengthening our core? Are we strengthening our arms? How many of these can we do? So that was fun. I don't know what that thing's called, though.
But so far, it's been a good experience. We did take the advice of the trainer as well. Last couple times we went, before we jumped into the workout, we did a little cardio warm-up.
5 minutes on the elliptical.
5 minutes on the elliptical.
Because if you do the arms and legs, it's a whole body warm-up.
Right. And warmed ourselves up before we jumped into anything. And so far, it's been a good experience.
I know. We were really slow last time, but we were also navigating these machines. We were like, how does this work? We did see later we may have done one machine incorrectly. That's okay, whatever. It's funny, the oldest, we were telling that at dinner that night or whatever, he's like, I said, we saw later that we had, somebody else was doing it differently.
Possibly,
possibly did it wrong. And he was like, total teenage moment. He goes, I would be so embarrassed, I'd never go back to that gym. I'm like, dude, we're in a contract and I pay money for this. We're going back.
Right.
Nobody came up and like was mean to us. Nobody laughed at us that we know about. So whatever. So the gym is good. We are going this afternoon when the kids get home from school. It's Wednesday, and then by Friday we'll figure out a time and then Sunday. Blip, 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 blip. But today is a very busy day, so. But we are still going to the gym. We're making it a priority. And that's the thing. So somebody's going to say to me invariably, how do you find time for all these things that you do? I don't find time. I make time. So it's not that I have more time than anybody else. It's not that I'm somehow superhuman. I'm not. What I then have to do is go, okay, if I'm going to make time for this thing, what am I giving up? And giving up makes it sound like you're sacrificing. I do less. I have things that for me that to not do them is not a sacrifice. So I don't watch a lot of TV. I mean, we will binge watch shows from time to time. We have shows we like. We like have movies we like. But I don't watch a lot of TV. Even though it's sometimes difficult, it is actually a wonderful thing to get off of social media for a while. So that is kind of easy to sacrifice an hour of scrolling through Twitter to go do something else. And I also have to just tell myself, you can't do all the things you want to do every single day. Like, I don't go to the gym 5 days a week or 7 days a week because ain't nobody got time for that shit. Mm-mm. I'm going 3 days because I'll prioritize time on those 3 days. Some of my little craft things I do, I only do 1 or 2 days a week because that's when I know I can. If I can do more, great. But that's the time I prioritize. And so I don't think I'm doing anything all that special. I'm just juggling time that I got. Yeah. To try and fit into all the things, but I'm out of that mindset of, if I like it, I have to do it all the time, or I have to do it all the time so I get to some goal faster. Like, this is a step-by-step kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I give up other things to do some things, and
we went into it, you know, like I said, we made a tentative plan for when we were going to attend and how long.
I think that was key to deciding before we started what our plan was.
And we also went into it with the realization that this may not work and we may need to tweak and adjust as we go.
But you know what? What I found, and I don't think it always has to be a DS relationship. I think if you have a friend that you can do this with, somebody that you're close to, somebody that you trust, doing these things is easier when we do them together.
Yes.
Because we rely on the other one. When one of us is like flagging, like, oh, I don't want to do this, the other one's like, no, let's go. Or when one of us, like my big thing, the hesitancy I had about even joining the gym was I couldn't figure out my brain, when are we going to even go? And if I didn't know when I was going to go, then I didn't want to commit to it because then that would feel like pressure once we signed the paperwork and said, yeah, we'll do this for a year. And it was the moment that we worked it out between us of, here are the days we could go and that would make the most sense. And here's who will adjust whose schedule on a given day to do that. Like on Fridays, you know, you might stop work a little bit earlier to go to the gym during lunchtime before kids come home. And on Sunday, I'm going to give up a lot of pajama and coffee time to go to the gym in the morning. And those were easy sacrifices to make. It was fine to do. It wasn't a true sacrifice. But once we worked that out together, then I was ready to go. Well, I was still a little nervous, but I was ready to go. And I think that has been helpful through all this. When I have felt like I've had to do it on my own, it's very easy to be like, I'm too tired to do this, or, oh, it's too stressful. But when we're doing it together, it doesn't. So I don't think that has to be a romantic relationship where you find that. But I think that if you have somebody in your life, friend, partner, whatever, that you can, then I think it makes it a little bit easier.
Ben has a good system. It's his His Planet Fitness is right near the laundromat.
Oh, there you go.
So he goes, puts the laundry in, does some workout.
We unintentionally chose a Planet Fitness right by a coffee shop.
Yeah,
there
right.
There coffee in our future. So there's that. We did get mail, and we got amazing mail, and I really need to take a picture and show this. It is I guess either a pen or a pencil drawing that was then printed for us. It's a print. I'm holding it to the camera. You can probably not see this at all on the camera.
Yeah, the lights are a little glare. You have to take a picture.
They are. I'm going to take a picture. We have Loving DS and the number one, Loving DS1. Follow us there on Instagram to see the mail we get. I take pictures there. But this was somebody who, I'm going to say their first name and nothing else because they didn't give a scene name. It was Thomasina. So if Thomasina is listening, thank you. We did get it.
Mm-hmm.
They had it printed, and it's in this really pretty, like, card format.
Cardstock, yeah.
And it's a letter, and it's the artwork, and it's amazing. Ah, it broke! No! Okay. I am not allowed to play with this, but I will read the letter. It says, Kayla, I recently came across your podcast and have been enjoying some of the back catalog. Woo, that's a lot to listen to. My edit there. Okay. I'm a new sub coming on to month 4 now. Since I'm new to kink, my master is introducing it to me slowly and gently. Good job.
Way to go.
He's done a few spankings, but only in brief spurts, and I suspect not very hard. Good on him. But I hear you talk about it all the time, so it got me curious. I've been dealing with some grief recently that I can't seem to shake, so I got it into my head to ask for a cathartic spanking. I asked my master if he would spank me until I cried. On that day, I learned I'm definitely not a masochist. Sometimes we have to learn those things.
Yep.
I think I was expecting something stingy, but in reality, it was some hard impact. Right from the get-go, I realized I had made a mistake. Aww. But we were in it now, and I was going to see it through. At the time, I thought he was aiming a little high, but now that I'm sitting here at work the next day, I'm grateful this big painful bruise is not directly on the seat of my bum. I should realize my master knows exactly what he's doing. They usually do. So it definitely worked as far as providing a cathartic release, but you better believe I'm never going to ask for that again. I get it. And we'll be extra vigilant about behaving to avoid any punishment spankings as well. Totally. I get it. I do. So I just wanted to share that anecdote with you. Thank you. This sketch that she sent the print of is one of my favorite of my master's. I like it because she's a thick girl, and she is. I like that. And because I know he drew it just for me. Ah, that's right. I had read this and I'd forgotten. Her master drew this. He is poly, so when he sends me sketches, I always assume he also sent it to one or more other people. But in this case, he had sent me a preliminary drawing first, and there were no glasses. She is wearing glasses, by the way. He added them later, and when I noted that, he said, if I'm going to turn you on, I should remember what you like. She says, I have a thing for people in glasses. Let me push up my glasses here. So I knew that this was a sketch just for me. Thanks for the podcast, and keep on keeping on. This is amazing. Yeah, thank you, Thomasina, for this. Thank you for the print of this picture. That is amazing. I will take a picture and put it up on Instagram. Yes, you can follow us on Instagram. We are very, even if that's your vanilla account, we are very circumspect. I do not tag people on Instagram unless I'm sure that they're like comfortable with it. And I don't, especially as the Loving BDSM account, I don't go commenting on people's accounts because I don't know if your grandma or your kid see it. So you can follow us in a vanilla way if you feel comfortable with it. But I will take a picture. And Thomasina's partner is very talented. This is really cool art. And definitely not sort of the kind of picture you usually see of like a erotic picture of somebody with very, very thin and slender. This is definitely, as Thomasina said, thick. And I like it. So it's amazing. Thank you. There's so many other things we could be talking about, but we have other things we gotta go do. So we love you guys. Thank you for watching on YouTube. Thank you for listening in the podcast. Reminder, go enter the giveaway. Even if you entered days ago,
and
there's probably a way to enter. There is a way to enter again to get more entries.
And thanks for sticking with us through our little stressful moment when the live stream died.
Yes, nothing like making the topic be about stress and then the live stream not working in the middle and it being stressful. And
things happen.
And that's us this week. We will see you next week. We will be around. We will be here and there and everywhere. We love you guys. Thank you so much. Without y'all, I'm just a crazy lady talking to myself.
Thanks for taking the time to spend with us.
Because it's a lot of time. We've been streaming almost 2 hours.
Yep.
Sorry, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
We love you guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.